listen to God's word as we read it together just now. John 15, verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and burn them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Amen. We know God will add his blessing to this reading from his word. Last Sunday morning, as we considered some things about the Savior, we were coping with a broken relationship. Despite everything that we know to be biblical and true concerning the Christian life, sometimes relationships break down, and sometimes we are very bad at handling them because we refuse to deal with them in a biblical way. We noted the reasons for broken relationships, and I'm sure there are many, but often within the life of the local church amongst a body of believers, there's sometimes a lack of understanding, and we tend to act on hearsay rather than on facts. There's a lack of Christian tolerance because we find it difficult to tolerate somebody who may well be different from me. There's a lack of Christian love, and perhaps that's the crux of the matter, even though we have read today that Jesus says we keep his commandments and we love one another. We noted the response to broken relationships, for Jesus taught us clearly how we deal with them. We take the initiative. This is a private matter between two individuals. We take the initiative. We go and sort it out privately. And then we take a brother, or we take two brethren who will come alongside, people who can be trusted to give wisdom and insight into what is perhaps a difficult situation. And then we take it to the church, and sometimes the church ultimately has to deal with that broken relationship. Sometimes that can mean that the person involved loses his or her right to remain in church membership. But the recovery of a broken relationship, it's possible if there's a spirit of humility, a spirit of willingness, and a spirit of forgiveness. And Jesus taught us we're to forgive always, and we're to forgive much. And if we do that, then relationships can be recovered. Today I want to turn your thoughts here again, some things about the Savior, and we're going to look at John 15, where we note the secret of fruit bearing. Listen to what Jesus says to his disciples here in verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Look at what Jesus says here. And I'm simply going to highlight four simple things. We can't go through this. This could take many weeks to study this particular passage. But I'm going to mention four simple things that I hope will put it in context and then help us to look at ourselves to see if today we're bearing fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the picture that is clearly evident. Because Jesus Christ, this is the last opportunity he has to teach some important lessons to his disciples. Soon he'll be arrested, as we know. He's going to have to face trial, and then subsequently he's going to be uplifted on an old rugged cross, and there he's going to die for the sin of the world. So prior to this, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking with his disciples in mind. What he says to them here is not strange or new to them. He uses a picture that they could very easily understand, something that they can identify with. He says to them, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, he uses two different statements here with two different pictures, and we need to note them very briefly just to put all of this in context. He says, first of all, I am the true vine. Israel, of course, as a nation, is often referred to in the Old Testament scriptures as a vine. There are many references with regards to that. I'll mention just one or two. Here's Isaiah 5, verse 1. Now I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. Isaiah 5, verse 7. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. So the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to those who would have understood clearly this picture that he has in mind, as he's going to teach a very important lesson. Israel as a nation is seen to be like a vine. And the most important thing about any vine is the fruit that that vine produces. And if you read through the history of Israel, you will discover that even though they are seen to be a vine, they were producing the wrong kind of fruit, and in this way, they were dishonoring God. In fact, here's what Jeremiah says about Israel in Jeremiah 2:21. Yet I had planted thee a noble vine, wholly a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? Now the picture given here is simply this. Israel as a nation had been chosen by God. He had planted them in their land that they might bring forth fruit for his glory. But the vineyard has run wild. And they have failed God miserably. They have turned their backs on God. They're steeped in idolatry. They have wandered from God. And they're bearing no real fruit. The Lord Jesus Christ turns around and he says, where Israel as a nation has failed, I am the real vine. I am the genuine vine. I'm the one who has come to glorify the Father. I'm the one who will do what Israel as a nation couldn't do. And I'm the one from whom you must derive life if you're going to be successful in fruit bearing. Look at the second statement. My Father is the husbandman. As far as Israel as a nation is concerned, God had watched over them lovingly, considerately. Despite everything that they had done, he never once cut them off. Now, if you know anything about a vine, you'll know that it needs to be tended very, very carefully. It needs to be weeded. The gardener who attends it will watch it carefully and consistently in order to get the best crop from the vine. He'll do whatever is necessary in order to produce the right kind of fruit and in order to produce plenty of it. And in a similar way, Jesus says, That's what my Father, that's what God has done for Israel as a nation. Now, despite everything that they had done, God had continually watched over them. He had protected them. He had watered them. He had pruned them. He had chastised them. He had done everything that was necessary in order to make them both faithful and also fruitful. But the tragedy is that despite everything that God had done for them, the nation had failed. And they had failed miserably. And they were not producing the right kind of fruit. That's the picture that is clearly evident. Here's the second thing, the pruning that is to be expected. Listen to what the Lord Jesus says to his disciples here in verse 2. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now let me pause here for a moment, because a lot of people misunderstand what these words actually say. And some people have taken these words to teach us that a believer in Christ can perish if he or she does not bear fruit. And they take these words, he taketh away, to refer to eternal destruction. Well, when you and I come to some things that may well be difficult to understand in the light of Scripture, the best way to understand those things is to understand those other things that are explicit and positively declared throughout Scripture. And the eternal security of the believer is one of those. John 10:28, the Lord Jesus Christ said this, "My sheep know me, they follow me, I give unto them eternal life, they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." In Romans 8, that great, great book, and of course that great chapter, Romans 8, Paul says this. He says, "For I am persuaded," the word means absolutely convinced, "that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So that's explicit. That is perfectly clear. So what does this question mean? What does it mean when Jesus speaks here about pruning and purging? Why on earth was it necessary? Well, remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to the 11 disciples because Judas has left them in the upper room. And I've no doubt that the Lord Jesus Christ here has the believer in mind. And he's saying that the believer who no longer bears fruit is no longer of any real use. He is not fulfilling his potential, and he is not fulfilling the very purpose as to why God has saved him or her. That's a very solemn thing. To think that a believer who has been redeemed at such great cost, we've been singing about the depth of the Father's love, we've been singing about the blood of Christ that has redeemed us. To think that a believer has been redeemed at such great cost to the Father and to the Son who bore our sin in his own body on the tree, and then to think that that same believer today could be seen to be in a barren and in an unprofitable state, failing to glorify God. How solemn that is. And yet, sadly, it happens. We see people in the life of every church who once walked well, who once served joyfully. They started out with great determination and enthusiasm, and then as the years passed, they fell into a state of barrenness, into a state of decay. And sadly today, many are cold of heart and inactive, and they play no part whatsoever in the work of the kingdom, yet they started out well. We see people who were once filled with joy and they were delighted to have fellowship with, something happened. And it robbed them of their joy. And it robbed them of their effectiveness. And it left them critical and negative. And with that, their effectiveness for God is gone. Beloved, listen. And I say this for the good of my heart this morning as well as yours. I'm just the Lord's messenger. It is possible for one reason or another for any one of us to fall into a barren spiritual state and to lose our usefulness and our effectiveness for God. It's possible. And if you're there this morning, consider that. If I am there this morning, I need to consider that. Because going through the motions with God is just not an option. Why? Well, Jesus says this, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away. Who takes him away? The husbandman. When believers fall into a barren, unprofitable state, God loves them too much to allow them to remain as they are. He will sometimes deal with them tenderly, lovingly. He'll seek to bring them back to where they ought to be. But sometimes he removes them altogether. But some other times he works with them. For Jesus also says this, every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. That word purging could be translated as the word cleansing, and perhaps it gives us a better picture of what this means. Take the vine. As far as the vine is concerned, it's going to be really fruitful, you hope. But if it's going to be fruitful, it needs to be well tended. It needs to be cared for by the husbandman, the gardener. Use whatever term you like. It needs to be kept clean, especially from parasites that come in, come on the vine and seek to destroy it. And in a Palestinian vineyard, there were many of them throughout the land of Palestine. And the gardener would come consistently and he would address the needs of the vine. He would wash off the insects, take off the moss, any other parasites that were simply hindering growth and the production of good fruit. Do you know it's the same for us as Christians? In order to make us more fruitful and more useful and ultimately more Christ-like, God sometimes has to deal with us. We may not like it. We may even react to it. But God's purpose is that he might change us and make us more like the Savior. That's why through his word he wants to cleanse us. Through his word he wants to expose those areas of our lives where there's defilement, where there are weaknesses. Through his word and by his spirit, God wants to knock off those rough edges of our lives that hinder us from being more Christ-like. Do you know what I'm saying today? That through his word, God often exposes to us individually our faults and failures. Instead of reacting negatively, we should seek God's help to deal with those areas that you and I know are not right in our lives. God wants you and me to fulfill our potential. God wants us to receive his word and apply it, that he can achieve greater things with us,
Lead us on to greater heights with Himself. Make us more effective in our ministries. Make us more useful in the work of the kingdom. And ultimately, make us more like our Savior. But if we reject His word, become rebellious and stubborn, we not only become less and less effective, we become less fruitful. I know that's challenging because pruning can be costly. It's a sore process. But when we receive it as God intended, it will always be to the betterment of our own spiritual lives. A picture that is clearly evident. The pruning that is to be expected. What about the position that is so effective? Some of you might be saying, but Pastor, how can I ever become what God wants me to be? That's a good question. That's one that I've asked myself many times during the course of my ministry, and I keep asking myself this on a regular basis. How can I become what God wants me to be? Well, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ here gives us the secret. He tells us how we can have more fruit, much fruit. He tells us how we can become more successful in the right sense of the term, how we can become more effective, how we can become more like Him. Look at verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. That's a verse we know well, isn't it? We've often quoted it in our individual devotional prayer times. But what about the application of its truth to our everyday living? The secret of fruitfulness and the secret of greater conformity to Christ is for us to learn the secret of abiding in Christ. Some people think that if they're in Christ, it follows on, they must be abiding in Him. Let me explain this to you. When we repent of our sins and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Scripture tells us that positionally we are in Christ. No doubt about that. That's a union that has been wrought by the Holy Spirit. That's a union that can never be changed or dissolved. But Jesus here is talking about abiding in Christ. The term should be translated as the word continue, dwell. Even by the word remain, it signifies the responsibility of every believer to maintain their union with Jesus Christ on an ongoing daily basis. Salvation is of the Lord. Only God can regenerate the sinner. He places him in Christ. That's the work that God does. But it's the responsibility of every believer by the grace of God to maintain, to continue to develop in that union. That's why the Bible encourages us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. If today we're struggling spiritually, the easiest thing in the world is to blame somebody. Blame the pastor, for he's the messenger. Blame the church, for they're not everything they should be. Blame other Christians because they don't give enough light. But you know, at the end of the day, our walk with God is our own responsibility. And sometimes I feel in my own heart, if I was more concerned about my own walk with God as I was with how others walk, it might make a great difference. For us to learn the secret of abiding, to maintain our walk with God, there are a number of things that are absolutely essential. I don't have time to develop these. I'm just giving some principles today. You think about them. We must daily seek after communion with Christ Himself. We've just had a tremendous week amongst the boys and girls in this community. It has been tremendous. And you know, we could be involved in camp work, and many of us have, and thank God for that. And we could be engaged in all kinds of various activities in this church, out of this church, right across the world in which we live. That's tremendous, but far more important than all of that is my communion with God. If I serve you in this church, and I rest in either my own ability or my resources or anything else, and I go through the motions, it's a useless exercise. To bring to you, I need to be drawing from Him. For you to give out to others, you need to be drawing from Him. And in every aspect of Christian living today, we need daily to seek after communion with Christ Himself. We need sustained, conscious communion whereby we withdraw life from Him. We draw from the resources of His grace. We get what we need every day to fight the battles that come our way, because at the end of the day, we can only do this in a strength that is supernaturally given. Remember the lesson of Mary? Martha cumbered about much serving, Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. Sometimes the battle's won not on the doorstep, on the platform, in the exam room. The battle's often won in the quiet place alone with Christ. And He says, without Me, you can do nothing. I urge you this morning, as I urge my own heart, for my life's every bit as busy as yours, don't forsake the place of daily communion with Christ. Don't struggle in your devotional life. Sort it out. Find help. Come to the pastor. Go to a friend. Go to a parent. Do anything you've got to do to get back into that place of daily communion with the Savior. Abide in Me, He says, I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in Me. And here's the last thing quickly. The picture is clearly evident, pruning to be expected, the position that is effective, the purpose that is essential. Why should we be concerned about all of this? Why should we treat seriously our ongoing communion with Christ? Why delight in God's working in us? This whole process of pruning and purging, which at times is difficult, discouraging, and even painful. Why? Well, here's the reason. You have not chosen Me. But I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. I believe there are two types of fruit here the Christian ought to be considering. There's the fruit of our labor. Our lives ought to glorify Christ continually. Our witness should lead others to Him. Our service done for His glory. And then when my life's work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, as the hymn writer says, will I be able to stand and show Him something for my labors for Him? Just to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Not successful, and certainly not in the eyes of the world or anyone else as to what you have achieved. But just to stand on that day before him, without the lament, Lord, I wish I'd given you more. The end of the day, the journey complete, just a life that has been lived in faithfulness to God. And then there's the fruit of the Spirit. Daily ongoing communion with Christ makes us more like him. It should make us more like him. Galatians 5, Paul says this, and I'm not going to concentrate on this because we did this one by one, each of the flavors in this fruit throughout the winter months. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. Now that's a great measuring stick, isn't it? For every Christian and their conformity to Jesus Christ. The man or woman who's unloving, unforgiving, argumentative, unkind, unfaithful, bad-tempered, selfish in spirit, is not a person who spends much time with Christ, because those things are the opposite of what Christ longs to see in us. The person who's cynical, critical, discouraging, gossiping, is not a person who spends much time with Christ. What a tremendous challenge that is. Fruitfulness. Like him, bearing all the graces as the Spirit of God works in us and with us and through us to the glory and honor of him who called us to bear fruit. The end of the day, God, in his grace, brought us to Christ and saved us that we might be conformed to the image of his Son. I know that's heart-surging for all of us. But the more we abide in Christ and the more we spend in communion with him on a daily basis, then the more we understand the secret of fruit-bearing. That's our little series brought to a close. Some have been comforting, some challenging. But may we all be the better for it as we apply God's word. Let's pray for a moment. Father, we lament the fact that there are many times as we express ourselves in action and attitude that we're not as Christ-like as we should be. Please forgive us. May we display more of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And may you teach us the secret of daily communion with you. For Jesus' sake.